Most men I've gotten to know, including myself, like to fix things. We do. We like to make things right. And one thing I've noticed about myself is not only do I fix things, I also have the habit of breaking things. One thing in particular that we have talked about many times in our household, because we use it often, is our kitchen trash can. It was given to us as a gift off of our wedding registry. And when we first got it, everything was in place. It was good. It worked well. But before I tell you what happened to it, I want to tell you about the trash can I grew up with in our kitchen. It was big. It was simple. It was a big rectangle, and it had a little spinny lid on it. So when you threw something away, it just fell right in. The trash bag fit nicely over the top of it and stuck out of the bottom of the little spinny lid that was on top. Very simple. And you may say, how complex can the trash can you have now really be? Well, for my simple mind, I guess it's more complex than I knew how to actually care for. Our trash can, when we got it off our wedding registry, had a little step that you would open up the lid with, now broken. It also had these little arms when the lid came up. It had these little arms, and I didn't know what these arms were. Again, my trash can growing up was real simple. I didn't know what they were for, but they're there to keep the trash bag nice and snug, so when you throw your first things of trash in there, it doesn't go to the bottom. I did not know that. Therefore, I thought they were useless. So what did this guy do? I broke them off. I know. Wow. Why? I didn't know. I thought, who needs that? So broke them off, and now our trash can is the way that it is. And I don't say this so you feel bad for me and go buy me a trash can. Please don't. We're okay. We're all right. Don't buy one. But I tell you this oftentimes to say that I depend on my own way of seeing things. I depend on my own knowledge and strength or lack thereof. And in our walk with the Lord, there are times where we depend on our own understanding. We see things our own way, when really we need to rely on the Lord and try to see things the way He sees them to be. So again, we are in Deuteronomy 1, 30 through 31, and my message is for our fathers in the room today, but there is something for all of us here that we should take from the text of Scripture. Our message that I'm giving is entitled, The Father Carries Us. And if you're there, go with me, Deuteronomy 30, or rather 1, 30 through 31. The text of Scripture says this, The Lord your God, who goes before you, will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you. As a man carries his son, all the way you went until you came to this place. Let's pray. God, this morning I pray that you would show us our need and dependence on you. That God, we would not have a mirage of an idea that we have gotten this far based on our own strength, our own intuition, our own willpower. But God, we would see all around us, you have put people and circumstances, you have given us gifts and abilities, that if those things were not there, God, we would not be where we are today. God, I pray you would bring a level of humility upon us as we approach the Scripture, that we would see it from a posture of seeing you for who you are, that you're a good, powerful, loving Father that is merciful with us, that doesn't need us for anything, and yet loves us anyway. God, today, speak to us from your word and show us how you carry us. We pray this in your name. Amen. So the book of Deuteronomy is where we find ourselves this morning, and the book of Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Bible. It is also the fifth book of the law. It is a book on instruction, and it is instruction for a generation of Israel that is now going into the promised land. and it teaches them and guides them on how to conduct themselves as they go that direction. The Lord uses this book to bring instruction. And this book, it follows the law that had already been given to the oldest generation in Israel that had heard the truths of God, that had been instructed in the ways of the Lord, that had been given the Ten Commandments and the other laws to show them how to honor God and how to live rightly. But we know the story. We know about Israel's disobedience. We know that they wandered in the desert for 40 years primarily because they disobeyed God. That is why they suffered. And what is amazing is if you were to read Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 2, just a few verses above, what you would find is that they could have shaved off a ton of time and gotten to the promised land much earlier if they had obeyed God. 11 days is all the journey would have taken from the time they got the Ten Commandments at Oreb, known as Mount Sinai, to the place they were called to go, into the promised land. 11 days! But instead, because of disobedience, it's 40 years of wandering in the desert. And what we're going to hear today is that rather than trusting ourselves, we need to rely on God. So first thing I want us to see from our text in Deuteronomy 1, starting in verse 30, is this. The Father carries us by fighting for his people. The Father carries us by fighting for his people. Moses is telling this generation that is heading to the promised land that the Lord is going to fight for them. Look back with me at verse 30. It says, the Lord your God who goes before you will himself do what? Fight for you. Just as he did for you in Egypt beyond, or rather before your eyes. Meaning the Lord would be the one who defeats Israel's enemies. Now, I'm going to ask this question as a skeptic. We, most of us in here, believe that God is who he says he is and follows through in his promises. But I'm going to ask this as a skeptic. How does Moses know he can trust this word from the Lord? What proof does he have? Well, first is this. Is that God always follows through on his promises. We're in Deuteronomy, remember? And if we look back over the time where God has provided for his people, we see that he has followed through on all of his promises. And this promise that he made with Moses, all the way back in Exodus 3, is called a covenant. It is a covenant promise God made with Moses for Israel. Now, a covenant is this. A covenant is a promise God makes that he's going to follow through on. It's a promise God makes, God initiates, that he's going to follow through on. And we see Moses being called in chapter 3, God speaking to him through the burning bush and saying, I'm calling you, and I'm calling you to rescue Israel from their captivity. And not only that, but I'm calling you into the promised land. And it's the promised land that he didn't just say to Moses, hey, I'm going to bring you into, but it's also dating all the way back to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. So we see this covenant promise started all the way back in Genesis and is reminded to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. Now, the second reason Moses knew he could trust in the promise from God is because God showed him time and time again that he would fight for his people. He would fight for them. We see this in the 10 plagues. When Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no, I won't. And it happens over and over and over again until finally God gets through with the 10th plague, the death angel, takes Pharaoh's son, and the sons of Egypt. And finally, Pharaoh lets them go. But we know this. Pharaoh was very double-minded. He changed his mind very quickly. And very soon after, he told the army of Egypt, go pursue Israel as they flee. And Moses gets to the Red Sea. And how does God provide? He tells Moses in that moment, raise your staff, the sea will part. You walk through on dry land, and then the waters would fall and destroy the Egyptian army. We see God fighting in the 10 plagues. We see at the Red Sea. And even beyond this, we see in Exodus 17, the battle against the Amalekites. And if you were unfamiliar with that text, this is where Moses is holding up his hands. And as he holds up his hands, the people of Israel have victory. When he gets weary and lets his hands down, that's when Israel starts to lose the fight. But he has help. He has Aaron, and he has Hur, spelled H-U-R. Hur holding up his hands, and the battle is won. But not only there, we also have in Numbers 21 against the Canaanites, the Amorites, and Bashan, and then in Numbers 31 against the Midianites. So time and time again, God gives victory, showing that it's the Lord who fights for his people. And here's the thing, why does God give them victory? Is it because of their goodness? Is it because of their righteousness? No way. The people of Israel are known over and over as stiff-necked, stubborn people, obstinate. Sound familiar? You think you can relate? I can. There's times where I reject the ways of God, the things of God. I try to do it on my own. And yet the Lord is gracious. He is merciful. And here's this reminder. God gives victory to an unworthy people. And we see this in Deuteronomy 9, verses 4 through 5. It says, don't say in your heart, after the Lord your God has thrust out your enemies before you, it's because of my righteousness that the Lord has brought me in to possess the land. Whereas it is because of the wickedness of the nations that the Lord is driving them out before you. Not because of your righteousness or your uprightness of your heart are you going to possess the land, but because of the wickedness of the nations that the Lord your God is driving them out before you. And that he may confirm the word that the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeah, it's not your righteousness. Think of how easy it is to be like Israel. Think of how easy it is to think, well, of course I'm being blessed. Look at me. Look how righteous I am. Look at all the good I do. Look at all the money I give. Well, of course God's gonna instantly bless me. To believe like this is to believe like Israel. To have this mindset of, well, of course good's going to come my way. Look at me. Is to be obstinate. It's to be stubborn. It is to be stiff-necked against the Lord. That is pride, and God does not bless pride. The reason the reward for the promised land was due to the rebellion of the nations. God was wiping out these nations who rebelled against God. And in addition to that, God is following through on his promise. He's not going to give up the covenant promise. He's always going to follow through. Now, today being Father's Day, here's the truth of verse 30 for us. The truth of verse 30 is that as men, we like to pride ourselves on our accomplishments. Case in point, many times when people ask how we're doing, we oftentimes don't talk about how we're feeling. We talk about what we've done. We list off items, which I get that that's a part of normal everyday life, but there is a motive deep within our heart that likes to pride ourselves in all the things we've done, we've accomplished, we've attained. Be careful. Be careful, men. It's good to do good things, but it's bad to do good things to get the applause from others. Remember that. Seeing that the only reason we have our job title, our neighborhood, or have the family we do is because of something we did. No. Here's five things I want us to remember as guys in here, as fathers, that we need to remember when it comes to the blessings we've received. First is this. We didn't choose the family we were born into. You didn't choose that. That's not part of your... That's not part of what you have to be responsible for. God gave you into the household you were raised in, the things you were taught, the way that you were grown and nurtured. Second is this, we often miss the fact that God is working behind the scenes. We miss that all the time. We miss that fact. He's working to protect us, and there's ways in which we have no idea how God has protected us. And there's other times where we clearly have an idea of where God's protected us, i.e. on I-35. We also, third, The success we have is not solely based on our skill. It's not solely based on our skill, but it's also based on the help we've received, the feedback we've gotten from others, and the abilities God has gifted us with. The abilities you have, though you may be very talented and very skilled, are not just due in part to your hard work. Yes, there's a big portion of that, but there are abilities you've been given that you naturally have. You have an aptitude towards. And you can build off of that, but you're not the sole reason you have those abilities. Fifth is this. Even our own salvation, or rather fourth, sorry, I skipped a number. Fourth is the sin we are able to overcome is not just because of self-will. It's not just because we are trying our hardest to overcome. It's actually because we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're convicted by the Holy Spirit. We're reminded of Scripture by the Holy Spirit. So the disciplines, the spiritual disciplines we have, huge, very important. But it's the Spirit that empowers us to overcome as we grow in our walk with Christ. Now, fifth, even our own salvation is not a direct result of our own. Ephesians 2:8, it is a gift from God. It's a gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't attain it. It's not about your righteousness. It's about you receiving the gift from God. Again, the Father is the one who carries us, and he fights for his people. Second thing I want to point out this morning from our text is this. It's that the Father carries us by getting us to the destination. Verse 31. It says, in the wilderness, where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son, all the way that you went until you came to this place. Now, I love the beautiful picture that Moses paints here. He talks about Israel being in the wilderness where they had wandered, and God carried them. He supplied for them. He gave them shade. He gave them food. He gave them water. He gave them everything they needed when he didn't have to do any of that at all. He could have made them suffer a little bit more. And yet he was gracious and merciful. He carried them just as a man, as a father, carries his son. Love that. I love that beautiful picture of God's heart, that as a father carries his son. And he did this all the way till Israel came to a place that is beyond the Jordan. You know, God is a loving father. And that idea of father may not be something that you cherish because you had an earthly father that was very unlike God our Father. But know this, you always have a Father who is waiting, who is with you, who loves you, who carries you, who hurts with you. In the darkest valley that you go through, he is there. No matter where you go, he is there. He is present. He is available. And there's some scripture I want to share with us that if you're taking notes, just remind yourself of these truths about God our Father. Psalm 68, verse 5 says, he is a father to the fatherless, a protector of the widows is God in his holy habitation. Psalm 103, 13 says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. James 1:17 says, every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. 1 John 3:1 says, see what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world doesn't know us is that they didn't know him. And Romans 5:18, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. You see, the Lord is there to protect. He's there to provide. He's there to carry you. And for the believer, he's there to bring us out of this desert, this world, and into the land that's promised, heaven, eternal, forever with him. We've got that hope ahead of us. We got a promise that's sure, and Christ has it in store for each and every one of us that put our trust in him. So, fathers in the room, let me ask you a question. Where are you leading your family? Where are you pointing them to? Is it to the Lord who carries and brings us to the destination? Or if you're honest, would you say right now, you know, I'm just kind of on cruise control. I'm really just trying to keep my head above water. I've got so many responsibilities, so much going on, and I feel so overwhelmed. How can I possibly do anything more? And I want to free you up today. It's not about the more. It's really about the now. It's not about adding to. It's about being present in. And I'll get to the application in a little bit. It's not about just doing more, grinding it out. There is that in a way, but it's not about doing extra. It's seeing what you have currently. For those of us who aspire to be dads, because I know not everybody in here is a father, but that is something you aspire to be. Right now, where's your focus? Is it on trying to acquire? Is it getting the right degree, the right vehicle, the right house, the right everything? Or are you preparing for eternity? You're going to spend forever there. Are you preparing yourself? Are you preparing to guide a family? And listen, if you don't know how to do that, guess what's all around you? You got dads and grandfathers in the room you can talk to that are sitting on your row that you can ask questions of. How do I prepare myself to do this? Or what are some ways where you wish you would have done better? Yeah, I think every guy in here would probably say, yeah, I wish I would have done this more. I wish I would have known this. Man, they would love to talk to you about that. And I want to let you in on this. There's many times for me, myself personally, where I have failed to lead and guide my family to Him. Full disclosure here. There are times where I have used my own knowledge, things that I have done, when I should have given them God's truth for them that day. I should have asked the Lord, God, what do you want for me to say to my family today? There's times where I've trusted my abilities rather than going to God in prayer. When I should have gone to God in prayer, I should have said, God, we're going through this. I don't want to just say this phrase or just quote this verse. God, do I know this is what you want me to say to them now? There's times where I've failed to seek the Lord, and I've seen things the way I wanted to see them. And this is one of the reasons why Psalm 20, verse 7 has been my verse for this season. It says, some trust in chariots, others in horses, but we will trust the name of the Lord. I have trusted my ability. I have trusted my strength. I have trusted the way that I see things, and that's going to fail me. It may work sometimes, but today, seek the Lord. Today, I need to do that on behalf of my family to say to the Lord, God, I'm guiding them to you. I'm pointing them to you. And you know what the Lord does when we guide and point our family to Him? John 10, 28 tells us. Jesus says, I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. You see, the Lord, God, carries us. He carries us. And He's going to get us to the destination. He does this. So today, what do we do with this? Well, dads, one thing I would encourage you to do more than anything else that I would recommend is read your Bible at home with your family. Just to let some of you parents in here in on something I like to do is I ask our teenagers, do you ever read the Bible at home? Do your parents ever read the Bible at home? So, because I love you, there's a system of accountability I've created with our students. I ask them that, and I want you to hear me loud and clear. The reason that I ask that is because what kids see you spending time in, time talking about, and energy towards shows them what is valuable. It shows them what's valuable. Now, this here, you don't have to know every single answer for. In fact, Deuteronomy 29:29 says, we won't. The secret things belong to the Lord. There are things that have been revealed to us in His Word that are for us. So grow, be sanctified, gather with the church, and please, because I'm the guy talking right now, please text me. Please call me. Ask me questions. I would love to talk about God's word. I know our pastors would love to talk about God's word with you. And there's going to be things we don't have perfect answers on, but guess what? One of the greatest things you can do is read the word of God to your family. It shows them what you value. It sets the tone for them. Because oftentimes as parents and as dads, we do what we know. We copy what our parents did for us. And you can change the trajectory for an eternity by reading the word of God to your family. I don't always do it perfectly. But God calls us to see where we are and to see where he wants us to go. So that's my challenge for us today. And I want us right now to enter into a time of response as we consider the word of God, that God carries us. He is there for us. And for dads today to hear that challenge, read the word of God to your family daily. But in order to do these things, we got to start with salvation. We got to start with Christ. Without salvation in him, we may think we're fully trusting in God, and yet we've missed the key thing we need. And that's a new heart, a new life, an eternity fixed on him. So just we've talked about God carrying us. God will carry those who trust in him into heaven if you place your trust in him today. If you're watching with us online, you can text the word Lakeland to the number at the bottom of the screen. And if you're here today, we'd love to talk to you about how to have a relationship with Jesus, that he lived a perfect life for you. He died on a cross to pay for your sins, and he rose victoriously from the grave, conquering sin and death, so that you may have complete forgiveness of sin, a restored relationship with God, and eternal life forevermore. We want you to have that. So feel free, come talk to us today. Our pastors will be at the bottom of the steps, and let us go to the Lord in a time of prayer. Would you stand with me? God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths that are in it. God, thank you for the fact that, God, you are constantly reminding us and showing us ways where you carry us. God, help us to see that. Help us to see that truth. Let us not rely on our own skills, gifts, and abilities. Let us see that those are from you. But God, they're not enough. They're not enough to change our condition. They're not enough to lead our family. We need you, Lord. So guys, we celebrate Father's Day. Dads in the room and aspiring dads to be. Would you help lead them to point their family to you, to model what it looks like to follow you, and to be ready in season and in out of season to make much of you, Jesus. We pray all this in your name. Amen.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You'll search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. what you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. Oh, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you ever require. Oh, you search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you.
Well, amen. Happy Father's Day again to all of our dads. Let's heed that application and do our best to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus so that we can keep steering our families to God's word and to God's will for our lives. If you're a guest today, would love an opportunity to meet with you in our guest reception right as we dismiss. It's going to be out these doors just to the left of our welcome center. Would love to just meet you, share a little bit about our church, and answer any questions that you might have. Want to encourage you again, please be praying for Vacation Bible School this week and all the sweet children God has entrusted to us. They're going to be singing a song for us next Sunday. Many of those kids will be back at our church. So will you pray for that? Pray with, we'll have a lot of visiting families that we will have an opportunity to share the gospel with those families and just see God do a great work in their lives. So thank you guys so much. Going to turn things over to Pastor Ross, and he's going to dismiss us.
While you're praying for Bible school, pray for the first grade Orcas, because they got to hang out with me all week, and I don't know if they should be more nervous or if I should be more nervous, but we're excited about going to the beach this week, even though it'll be right here in the air condition. Hey, if there's a decision that you've made that you didn't have a chance to talk to us with, something we can pray about you with you this week, feel free to let us know. The number's on the screen, text Lakeland, and we'd be happy to come alongside you. I don't know that I have any announcements. I probably should, but just as we close today, I'd like to pray for Marty. As many of you know, Marty's had some major hip issues and is having hip replacement surgery on Friday. So as we close today, let's just pray that God will be with the doctors. And Marty is, I know that after about 6 or 7 months of pain, he's ready for the procedure that he's going to have this week. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. God, thank you for today. Thank you for the chance that we have to come together and worship corporately. We thank you that you are the God who carries us. And God, I pray that in all of our lives that we would recognize just the strength that you have to get us to the destination. God, I pray for Marty and Tina, especially this week, as they prepare for this procedure that they've been waiting on for several months. God, I just pray right now that you would be with the doctors and the care team. God, I pray that you would be especially with Marty as he is anxious but looking forward to relief. God, I pray that you would just give him peace as he gets there Friday morning. God, I just pray that everything would go smoothly. God, I pray that the procedure would bring healing to his body. And God, I just thank you for his faithfulness to be here even when he has lost the ability pretty much to walk. God, I pray that you would bless him for that. God, I pray that you'd be with each of us as we go throughout the rest of our week. God, I just pray that you would